Chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who is to be born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. From you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for this child, and when you have found him, bring word to me, so that I may go and pay him homage.' And when they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of the Lord. Today is Epiphany Sunday. And this is the traditional text for Epiphany Sunday from Matthew. So it is a very familiar text, I'm sure. I've preached on this a number of times already, and you probably have heard this a number of times, this particular text a number of times. So when we become familiar with a text like this, we kind of don't listen when it's read, or if we read it, we don't really, I know what that says. And you kind of just sort of skim through it real quick and get through that. And often when we do that, we miss things. So today and this week, I was mindful of that, and I tried to read this text with a fresh set of eyes and tried to see things in a new way. Often these same stories in the Gospels appear in two Gospels or three, and sometimes all four Gospels have the same story. But this particular story in Matthew only shows up in Matthew's gospel. This is the only place where you read about the kings coming from the east. So, and if I could ask the wise men one question, I would ask them, what compelled them to go on this journey? Why did you take this journey anyway? Now, they might say they're following a star, but if this star was as grand and as dramatic as we often see in paintings and things like that, you would think that there'd be a few more people doing the same thing, and when they get there to see Jesus, there might be more than just the family. There might be a bunch of people there. But it's just the three wise men who show up there, and that's about it. So I'm thinking there's probably a few other factors going on here that led them on this journey. They probably have some kind of curiosity about foreign lands or meeting some new people. Susan and I will be going to Germany in March. I've never been out of the country. I've been to Canada, but that doesn't really count. I mean, so we're going out of the country. That's going to be different. I've never been. I don't know any German. Now, Susan knows a little bit of German, so I'll just be with a blank stare when they're talking to me, and I'll just look at her and try and figure out what they're saying. You know, I ain't going to know anything. But that'll be different. You know, I've never done that before, and some of you have, some of you haven't, but it's kind of exciting to go to different places. They probably had a number of resources available to them. They're bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh. They got some resources. The journey would have taken a fair amount of time, several weeks, maybe a couple months, you know, to go that far. So they had to be in pretty good health. They had to have some understanding spouses that are going to let them go for, you know, 6-8 weeks or whatever. Now, they may have been married for, you know, a number of years, and the spouses might be saying, "Yeah, why don't you go away for a couple of weeks? You know, that'd be a good idea. You know, I'm getting kind of tired of you." So maybe it was that way. I don't know. But there was a number of factors, I think, going on here. So we ask ourselves, well, why do we do the things we do, and why do we go on the journeys that we go on? And when we think of epiphanies, we think of some grand, dramatic thing, you know, like a voice coming from heaven or an angelic vision or some bright light or things like that. But God is often more subtle than that. There's usually no voice from heaven. There's usually no angelic vision or some beam of light to guide you where you're going. It's usually comes about from prayer and contemplation of things and conversation with folks and God's little small voice that nudge us in a particular direction to take us on a journey, kind of like what they went on, that has both blessings and can have some treacherous things go on during the journey. But God, I think, was nudging the wise men to leave the comfort of their home and set on a journey that is going to be a bit challenging at times, but ultimately it's going to be a blessing to them to go on this journey. So when we, if I ask the question, why do we do the things we do? Often we do the things we do, if we're honest, because God directs those things that we do. So, somebody's going on a journey. It's a blessing and a treacherous journey, I'm afraid this one's good. But often we leave the comfortable things, the things that control us. We often leave those behind and go on journeys. And that is one of the points that I want to make today, is if you're sitting around waiting for some kind of grand voice from God, some angelic vision or a beam of light to sort of guide you, you might get that. I'm not going to say you're not going to get it, because somebody's going to leave here today and have some angelic vision on the way home or something. But more often than not, it's going to be that small voice that's just kind of nudging you in a particular direction. So if you're waiting for that grand thing, you might be waiting a long time for that. But I want to focus now on the final passage, because that's the passage that really, I read that this week and it spoke to me. It says, "And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." And there are many Herods in the world today. We encounter Herods in our daily lives. And Herods are the people or the things that control us and control our lives. Herod in our story today is a control freak. He worries about anything that might upset his control. And there are many people under the influence of Herod, and some don't mind it. Some think it's a pretty good deal. I think the people that Herod calls in to consult with probably think this is a pretty good gig, so they don't want anything to upset that apple cart at all. But verse 3 is very telling, because it says, "When Herod heard this," that is that this child, the king of the Jews, had been born, "he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him." So they were all frightened, because I think they knew somehow that this Jesus was going to be a threat to their way of life and the way they were doing things and the control that they had. Jesus started a movement that in a way put an end to the time of Herod, and it put an end to the time of all the Herods after Herod. This movement that Jesus ushered in is the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is on God's timetable. It's not on Herod's timetable. It's not on our timetable. It's on God's timetable, and Jesus operated on that timetable. Too often we're afraid to set ourselves free of those things that can control us. Sometimes they become comfortable, and we get afraid of doing something that might upset that or a little bit different. And we're told we have to do things a particular way. To be successful, whatever, you got to do this, this, and this. You got to do things a particular way. And if we don't, we're afraid that things are not going to go well. But God says, don't go and return to the Herods of this world. He says, leave for your own country by another road. So it doesn't matter how old or how young you are. At the start of this new year, I invite you to embark for your own country and take that alternate route that God has prepared for you. There are many people right now who seem to be rather unfulfilled. Their lives just don't seem to be very fulfilling. Sadly, there's a number of Christians right now who don't seem to be very fulfilled with what's going on and the things in their lives and things like that. As I said on Christmas Eve, there is a lack of imagination that has set in, I think, during this time. And the possibilities that we envision are rather limited because we've allowed people or things to control our imaginations and control what the possibilities might be. And when we allow that to happen, life begins to shrink. It begins to kind of close in and not be very fulfilling. So I think as Christians today, we need to be rejuvenated and have a rejuvenation of our Christian imagination, to expand our imagination, to see the possibilities that are out there before us. And one way to do that, to rejuvenate that Christian imagination, is to allow God to lead us home by another road. Maybe a road that we less traveled, you know, as they say. And if you allow God to lead you on this journey, you will find that you're not constrained by the Herods of this world. You no longer operate on their timetable, but you begin to operate on God's timetable. And unlike Herod's, God actually gives you the time to enjoy some of the things in life. Now it seems like things go so quickly that you pass things by and you don't even notice, or you don't even take the time to notice because you got to get this or that done. But God allows you the time to enjoy some of those things and even notice some of those things that you wouldn't notice before. Take a look at the wise men, and they embark on this long journey. And as I noted, it's not an easy journey, but it is a fulfilling journey for them because they're doing it on God's time, and God leads them on this journey. And I find it funny that God even utilizes Herod on this journey to help them find the child that they're looking for. They couldn't find him. You know, they led him to Jerusalem. They go to Herod and say, where is this child? And Herod's got to go and figure out where this child was born, and all of them get together and tell him that. But it's interesting how he uses Herod to help them further their journey. And God does that sometimes. Even the enemies of the kingdom are often in service to Jesus and furthering Jesus' kingdom, even though they don't see it that way or perceive that. But God is in control, and he's using that situation in this particular case to allow Herod to direct them to where they needed to go. So when you allow God to lead you home by another road, you may very well encounter the Herods of your life that used to control a lot of your life. You may encounter them, but it will be a different encounter this time because God is now the one in control. And he may use those folks to further your journey, but they're not controlling your journey. They're not controlling you anymore. God is in control of the situation now. And they're not controlling the things that you do or using you and sometimes that they can do. It's a new year, and many people are saying 2016 is going to be a very important year. There's much going on in the world. There's much going on in this country. Important decisions need to be made. But the most important decision you will make this year is this. Will you listen to God and not go back to the Herods of your lives? But will you allow God to lead you home by another road, a road that you might not necessarily take on your own, but allow God to take you on that journey? And I promise you it'll be a fulfilling journey with things that you didn't imagine or could conceive that could happen. But when God leads you on that journey, those things do happen. So I encourage you to take that road that's a little less traveled. Travel home by another road, that road that God has prepared for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.